Welcome back to Startup to Success on KLOS 95.5 FM HD3, SoCalArmenian.com.
I can't tell you how thrilled I am to have you on the show and to hear about this amazing work that you guys do. I've never heard of anything like this. You know, I've come across a lot of job training places that help people, but you give them every single tool they need to not have any excuses, but to succeed. And that's just amazing. I love it. I want to jump into leadership a little bit, talk about, well, actually, I'm sorry. Before we jump into leadership and talk about what an amazing leader you are, I want to ask you one more question. How can businesses, we have a lot of listeners who own businesses.
All right.
Businesses, how can they support you? What can they do to get involved and hire people or support?
And you know, it goes on both sides, really. Part of our training on center is the book work and, of course, our shops and doing the different things for the hands-on training. But we always love to have employers be part of that. And that's through our internship or our work-based learning programs. And so just to be able to say, I'd like to have a student, in reality, they're getting another worker, and that work, they're training them on the job. So that's a way that somebody could get involved in helping a young adult. To be able to take what they're learning and then put it into practice. And then, of course, that leads on into employment and sometimes right with that employer, a way to get them in there and see somebody work and be able to hire them. And obviously, I mentioned earlier about just information. We have industry council meetings where we invite employers to come in by industry to give us feedback. We want them to look at our curriculum. We want them to give us ideas on what are the new and upcoming jobs. They can do that. And of course, we do have, I told you, we place students and we stay with them and track them for another year, offer services to them. If they're interested in hiring young adults, we can provide employees to your business, even to the fact if we spend time with you individually, then there may be individual skills that you have for your business that you would like to have them train just for you. We can include that into the curriculum and make sure that they have those skills specific for your industry. So it's really a coordination with the center, letting us know you're interested, and we'll make sure that we get you involved in the work-based learning, internship, our industry councils, or an employment side of things. Whatever works out best for you, we'll be there to help out.
Is there, for the employees, the employers to partner with you and help these students mm-hmm. out, do they need to have a certain threshold of income or any type of qualifications that you may want them to have?
None.
Oh, amazing. Okay.
Yep. None. As a matter of fact, that's again, that willingness to help out and a good opportunity. Obviously, where we send our students to, I want to make sure that it's a safe environment and so forth. But I tell you what, the employers that we work with are wonderful. So very happy with what we do. And we're always looking for more employers so we can have more students out there.
Amazing. Wow. All right. Let's talk about leadership. So I've heard amazing things about you. And I would love to start off by, who was your inspiration? Did you have a mentor in your career that you looked up to?
You know what, it's I mentioned how I started in Job Corps when I came out of college. And when I came out of college, I was just a young kid that had a passion, I guess, at that point for helping other people. And I just saw myself changing the world kind of thing. And I met a gentleman that was my boss probably for about 5 years during that first job that just had an amazing influence on me because it was his passion for the job. You know, we would be out sweeping the sidewalks or cleaning the center, you know, to do what needs to be done. And he'd look at me and say, "Isn't this wonderful? We're getting paid for this." And it just his attitude about enjoying life for what you are doing right now. And in not getting caught up in, this is a horrible thing that we're doing. Why am I out here? I'm a teacher. I shouldn't be sweeping the sidewalks. Well, if it's for the good of the center and for the good of the student that we needed to do something, we do whatever we need to do. And I think it's because of that influence from him with me that shaped my passion for what we do. And I think you can probably hear it during this interview in my voice and everything that I do. This is truly something that I care a lot about. And I think in leadership, that has to come through, and staff need to see what you're saying. You can say pretty words, what you want to have done, but if they can read whether you're really truly passionate about it, or are they just idle words coming out of your mouth because they're nice things to say. And for me, it normally doesn't take too long to really feel my passion and caring, not only for the program or for what I do, but for that individual themselves too, that they become an important part of our organization. And I do use this as an example when I'm talking to staff. You know, we have bus drivers that take our students on trips and do different things. And sometimes we think that the lower level, and that's not really so-called a lower level job, but just maybe a job that they may not think is so important. It's one of the most important things. Each component adds to the center in its own way. And the people that are in those departments, no matter what the title is important to that. So when a student gets on the bus, if you're there on time to pick them up, if they get on the bus and you smile and say, hey, I'm so happy to have you on my bus, come on in. You know, if you have that kind of attitude, it spreads in your departments, it spreads on the center, and it just makes it a great place to work. And you enjoy what you're doing a lot more, and the students are more successful to know that they have, and that's a way that we can care, show that we care. So we show we care, I think, through being our passion that we show, that we're organized in how we structure things so the students see that we know what we're doing. Things need to flow, so the organization and structure, and just being committed to the standards that you establish, and that's setting those high standards. And I've learned over the years, whatever standard you establish, our students will rise to that standard. Okay, so if your standards are low, that's what they'll rise to. If it's high, they'll go up to high. And it's the same thing when dealing with staff. And we're all human beings. All we need to do is to be recognized for what I'm doing. And I don't mean recognition in prizes and that kind of stuff. But it can be as simple as making sure that you make eye contact and you say hello to somebody every day. It can be that simple. And smile, or to learn about them personally more. And sometimes we think we're so busy, but we don't take the time of the personal side when you're a leader to really know your staff. Now, I've got 230 plus staff right now on the center. And I can't say I know everybody by name, but I know most people. And I make sure that as new employees that I'm involved, and make sure I try to get to know where they're at, or to make sure I get into their offices or into their classrooms or wherever they're at, to get to know them as individuals. Wow. And so it is a combination of a lot of things that I think that you have to lead by. But most importantly, example.
How do you keep them motivated? How do you keep your team motivated when you guys have conflict or certain obstacles that you're dealing with?
You know, that what you do is you recognize that conflict is a part of life. Like, conflict happens wherever you're at. I think what you do is you make sure that you stay calm. You do what you need to do. They need to see, he's got it taken care of, or you give the direction that needs to be done in how to handle this thing by not getting yourself into a frenzy. And that calmness, I think, brings calmness to situations. And I think it's just the recognizing and the staff, you know, the staff or the students, you know, there are going to be times when there's going to be conflict, and we'll work through it and we'll move on, and we don't need to sit and dwell about it afterwards.
I love it. I love that. How do you grow as a leader? Do you read books? Do you know? I'm just curious to know.
You know what? It's both really. It's through observation of other areas. I think in your career, you come across good bosses, okay bosses, and bad bosses, and you learn from all of them in some way. And you just have to be passionate about what you want to become, and you take the good and the bad and put it together without criticism. That's who that individual is. And but for yourself, you use those experiences or use that information to create you. And the same thing with reading books. There are books that I look at, both educational books. I look at, especially, just books on leadership. I come across something that's nice. It's not like I dive into them and I have a book that I read every week or something. But it is, you have to educate yourself also and learn some things, practice some things, try some things. And over the years, you mold yourself into who you want to be and what works and what works in motivating others. Because really, a leader is not necessarily being the smartest person that knows everything. They just need to be able to have good people around them that they've hired to have nice high standards and motivate them. So you have to get other, how do you get others to get that work done, basically?
I agree. In my marketing agency, I have a lot of millennials working for me, and they've taught me so much. They've taught me to become a better leader in many ways. But it's amazing when you said, you can't think that you're the smartest and you're the most experienced, because that doesn't necessarily make you the best leader. I think being the best leader is recognizing the strengths that your employees have and the weaknesses, and helping them grow as human beings, as your employees. But I think another thing that I've learned through my experience is to let them teach me, and to allow them to lead within whatever work they're doing, for them to own the project that they're doing, and for them to feel that they're the leaders of their own little project. And so for me, it's been inspiring to sort of create, I lead my team, but I'm trying to create leaders within my team to lead their own little departments and be leaders and just take over. And I feel like there's so much, just the work gets done in such a positive way when good leaders are just living by example, but also allowing others to teach them, and they're open. And one example I want to bring that I constantly come across is when we don't know how to do something, let's say, and a lot of times I would be like, wait, let me see who I can connect to and talk to and maybe get advice or consultation or whatever. My employees, usually the first thing they do as I'm speaking, they're Googling. And they'll find all the information online. And they're like, I don't think we need to talk to anyone. Here, I found this YouTube video, or I found this, or I found that. And it's just so amazing how, like, it's just as a good leader, I think it's important to be flexible, be open, and be willing to learn from others as well. Now, going back to creating a team and hiring, what traits do you look for when you're hiring a new employee?
It's interesting you said that. I just did a presentation for Job Corps for last Friday on compassion. And it's really most skill sets can be taught that we deal with. I mean, there are skill sets you need to have. If you're going to hire a maintenance person to take care of, or electrician to do different things, obviously they need to have those skill sets. During the interview, I really look at that personal side or that compassion side, not empathy so much that they just feel sorry or feel how another person is feeling, to empathize with them, but the compassion side is really to go do something about it, take that action step. And so I look for those traits and characteristics when I'm doing my interviewing. Because those are the people that are going to have the positive work environment. They're going to be joyful in what they do. They're going to care about other individuals, and that's who I want on their team. And you know, I'll take a point even to take and walk them around the center and do different things. I want to see how they interact with students. Does do they light up when they're around other students, you know, or do they feel uncomfortable? And so there's just a lot of things. How do they interact with the staff? There's a lot of, I think, cues that I look for that make the difference between who I want to hire. And I just know maybe they're not the highest skilled person as this other interview I did, but this is going to be the person that's going to work out and stay with us the longest time and be part of our team.
I love that you mentioned compassion. I think that's instrumental, not just in the workforce, but just in life. To be a compassionate person, it makes one's life so much more better when you're compassionate towards others. So I love that. And my last question is, how do you generate great ideas in the organization?
You know what? And this is true. And management sometimes looks as far as, you have to be the one with the ideas. But I did learn a while ago, the ideas need to be generated from the staff or the people that are working right in the trenches. You know, they're the ones daily doing this and doing that. That's where the ideas come from. Well, that's great, because you don't want to have the parking lot meetings where people would talk, if we did this, this would be better. And if we did that, you know, that would be better. You need to have a system or an open system that allows employees to come and say, you know what? To be critical, to be able to say, hey, I think we could do this better, you know, and obviously to do it in a positive way, but they need to be safe and feel safe that they can come forward. And so a lot of times, and I know in my all staff meetings, I am always saying, encouraging people to be able to make sure, bring new ideas. That's how we become better. That's how we have a creative, bring out the creativeness. And I mentioned earlier, when I talk to the students, when I say that you become part of our organization, I mentioned to the students the same thing. Hey, if we were able to do this, it would be better for the students to do whatever needs to be done. And I tell the staff, when they come to me with an idea of change, to really look at, okay, I'll be asking in my head, okay, is this change the betterment for the staff, for you, or is this a betterment for the students? Or is it something that's beneficial to both, really? And if they come to just make ideas or to change things because it's going to be easier for them, I reject it. You know, it's not something, that's not what we're here for. But if they can come up with ideas of change and how we do things that's going to benefit the student, and it's a plus if it makes it better for the staff, we move forward. But you have to be open, to answer your question directly. You have to create that atmosphere where people feel comfortable to bring things forward, to say, I think we could do it better. Because sometimes in management, we don't allow that openness and look at that as someone who's just critical and don't take the value in that.
Wow.
And that's only the way you become better, to be critical of yourself.
I agree. Wow. Thank you so much. Thank you for your time, Tom. I appreciate all the wisdom. I appreciate what you do. You guys have an amazing center. I actually drove by it a few days ago, and it's not just one. It's a few centers in downtown Los Angeles that I'm just so impressed by. And the work that you guys do, can you remind our listeners where they can learn more, whether they're businesses who want to partner with you and support you further, or if they're young youth that who are in the midst of, you know, trying to figure out what they want to do with their lives, how would they get a hold of you? How can they connect with Job Corp?
You know, the easiest way right now would be really to go to Job Corp, jobcorps.org. I'm sorry, .gov, G-O-V. And then you could read, then through there, that's the main one for the nation that talks about Job Corps and everything about it. But then you can scroll down and you'll look at the map and you can go right to the LA Job Corps Center and, you know, click on there, and that'll give you the numbers and everything to get a hold of. right there on the website. So again, jobcorps.gov.
Amazing. Thank you so much. And thank you again for your time.
And I appreciate the time spent with you too. And again, great things going on here. I'm so proud of the staff and the students. It's wonderful to have a great group to work with and see great success going out the doors.
Amazing. Amazing. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mariah.
Bye.
Thank you for joining Startup to Success with Mariah on KLOS 95.5 FM HD3 SoCalArmenian.com.